Theater. Comments by Maurice Evans, who sounds a warning about the classics. Emphysema. The latest advice from the medical director of a dramatic rehabilitation program in Philadelphia, which is helping sufferers breathe easier. Music by Herb Alpert, the Irish Rovers, Sammy Davis, but ladies first, Miss Margaret Whiting. That's Monitor this half hour. I'm Jack Hassett.
You made me think that you love me, but I get around and I know you placed another love above me. Oh, I hate to see me go. Somehow your actions confuse me. You're not the boy I used to know. Now I'm afraid you're gonna lose me. Oh, I hate to see me go. You had me convinced that it might work out, but how was I to know? You were making other plans and leaving me out. I hate you, but I guess I'll have to go. I was a fool to believe you. You took me in and I know. Now I guess I'll have to leave you. Oh, I hate to see me go. You had me convinced that it might work out, but how? But I guess I'll have to go. I was a fool to believe you. You took me in and I know. Now I guess I'll have to leave you. Oh, I hate to see me go. How I hate to see me go.
In his 40-year career as an actor and producer, Maurice Evans has continually set precedents, sought innovation, and displayed great versatility. For instance, his latest film, Planet of the Apes, has him cast as an orangutan, completely garbed in head-to-toe ape makeup. Mr. Evans, turning from films to theater, a colleague of yours, a Broadway producer, Alexander Cohen, who has produced both here and in England, says, quote, "If the American theater is not subsidized soon, there'll be no more theater." What do you think, Mr. Evans?
Well, I think he's a little overstating his case there. I think certainly a certain portion of the theater, and a very important portion of it, the more serious theater, is in for a very hard time, particularly the classics. Mm-hmm. People are constantly asking me, why don't I appear in Shakespeare anymore? What is Maurice Evans doing playing a monkey when he used to play Hamlet? Well, the reason is purely a matter of economics. You see, the sort of theatres that we need to play in when we play the classics require a big take at the box office.
Yes.
We have almost the same expenses as Hello, Dolly, when we played in the same theatre. Mm-hmm. Actually, nearly all the Shakespeare I did was at the St. James's. There, we have 50 people on the stage, we have musicians in the pit, we have stagehands and a lot of lighting equipment, and all the expenses. Mm-hmm. But we don't have that same number of customers. Neither do we have customers who are prepared to pay $9.80 to go and see Shakespeare. So, somebody has got to come to the rescue of the classics at some time, so that we can play in the smaller theatres mm-hmm. at a deficit.
Is this presently being done at all in the United States?
To some extent. Lincoln Center has some underwriting, mm-hmm. and certainly the foundations, such as the Ford Foundation, have been very good to some of the provincial repertory companies. Uh-huh. And without this underwriting, they wouldn't exist at all. Because the great danger, I think we all see, if we get to congressional subsidy, is that every congressman has a daughter who wants to go on the stage.
Certainly.
Isn't it funny that the poor old theatre is always supposed to get on on its own. You know, I used to run the drama department of the New York City Center. And whereas the ballet could run into the hole, the opera could run into the hole, we poor actors were supposed to work for equity minimum and pay the deficits of the other two departments.
Well, that in itself speaks well for the theater, though, really. Because
I think it's healthy,
well.
Don't
yes.
you?
Yes, I do.
I don't think any art that doesn't pay is really a very healthy art.
But I do think that it wouldn't hurt to for some foundations to come up with a part of the money that goes into the cost of high-cost productions.
Well, maybe one of these days they will come to some of us who have really had experience in this work rather than purely fostering the new organization and put our knowledge to work with the aid of a subsidy. My hand's out for it.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Our monitor guest these past few moments, actor, producer, a man who's made a vast contribution to good theater in both England and America, Mr. Maurice Evans. Nationwide, NBC. And in just a few minutes, potentially life-saving advice on emphysema, the chronic lung disease now rated the nation's number two killer. So stay on the monitor beacon.
Sure, I'm an ex-serviceman. Boy, those were the days. But I'm married now, steady job and family. I thought those days were gone. Then I learned about the Air Force Reserve, and those good old days are back. You can go back too. So don't let those good old days go to waste. Join the Air Force Reserve.
My name is Long John Neville, and I have a question for you. What's the shortest distance between two points of view? The answer, straight line. My early morning telephone show. So, if you have an opinion or question, call and add to the outgoing sound of the incoming calls on Straight Line, the Long John Neville telephone show, mornings. That's right, mornings from 5 to 6, right here on WNBC.
Monitor, New York. WNBC, New York.
Monitor continuing at 15 minutes after the hour. A brief and timely word now from your Internal Revenue Service. Is there anything the taxpayer can do to speed up his income tax refund? Yes. File your return as early as possible. That's number one. Number two, print legibly. Make sure all necessary items are completely filled out, especially your correct Social Security number. Three, make sure all W-2 forms are attached. And four, make sure the return is properly signed. Joint returns require the signature of husband and wife. And remember the deadline, midnight, April 15th.
Lonely is the name that I answer to, and crying is the game. 'Cause I'm losing you, I'll never be the same. Without your love, believe me, sorry is the role that you make me play. Tormented is the soul that is mine today. I'm lost beyond control.
his latest songs. Sammy Davis, I mean. One of the most frightening, disabling, and potentially deadly chronic diseases is aptly named. Emphysema sounds serious, and it is. But a pioneering rehabilitation program in Philadelphia has produced dramatic results. The program has been underway for over 2 years now at Albert Einstein Medical Center. And the project director, Dr. Philip Kimball, describes the disease, who it affects, and what's being done about it as he talks with monitor reporter Gary Schoenfeld in Philadelphia.
Dr. Kimball, just what is emphysema and who does it strike?
Well, emphysema is a chronic disease, and by that I mean that it takes a long time to develop, and once it develops, it produces permanent damage to the lungs. The lungs don't function as well as they should in the person with emphysema, and he develops shortness of breath. Once the lung is damaged, there is a certain amount of permanent and irreversible change in the lung tissue that cannot be corrected, so that we must work with the remaining function and get the patient to carry on as best he can within the limitations of his lung disease.
Who is affected by this disease?
Well, presently we see about 7 or 8 times as many men as women affected by the disease. It seems to strike people in their middle or late 50s or early 60s. It appears that at this point, almost everyone who develops the disease, with some exceptions, of course, has been a rather heavy smoker for a long period of time. So as far as we're concerned, it is primarily a disease of cigarette smokers.
Just how serious a problem is this disease?
Well, in recent years, it's become quite a problem. It is the most rapidly increasing cause of disability today. The reported death rate, the number of people dying from emphysema, is doubling every 5 years. It is reported by the Social Security Administration that it is the second most common cause of disability or premature retirement among men receiving disability pensions. It costs the government between $80 to $90 million a year to support these people. Now, these are folks who are disabled completely, and there are a large number of people who, because they are not disabled completely, still are able to function moderately well, but lose many hours or days of work or time which they could spend in recreation and leisure activity or educational activities because they are too short of breath to participate. So the extent of the problem is great. It's estimated that there may be from 2 million to as high as 14 million people involved by emphysema or chronic bronchitis, which is a common accompanying disease in this country.
Can emphysema be wiped out?
Well, if you mean can we eliminate the disease as a problem, it's my feeling that if people would not smoke, or if we could eliminate cigarette smoking, I think the number of patients with emphysema would be practically insignificant. We'd have so few that we would have to look for some other field.
Thank you, Dr. Kimball. I've been talking with Dr. Philip Kimball. This is Gary Schoenfeld in Philadelphia for Monitor.
A long time ago, when the earth was green, there was more kinds of animals than you'd ever seen. They'd run around free when the earth was being born. But the loveliest of them all was the unicorn. There was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpback camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, the loveliest of all was the unicorn. Now God seen some sinning, and it gave him pain, and he says, stand back, I'm going to make it rain. He says, hey, brother Noah, I'll tell you what to do. Build me a floating zoo and take some of them green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpy-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget my unicorn.
Old Noel was there to answer the call. He finished up making the ark just as the rain started falling. He marched in the animals two by two, and he called out as they went through, "Hey, Lord, I got you green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn." Then Noah looked out through the driving rain. Them unicorns were hiding, playing silly games, kicking and splashing while the rain was falling. Oh, them silly unicorns. Those green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees. Noah cried, "Close the door, 'cause the rain is falling, and we just can't wait for old unicorn." The ark started moving, it drifted with the tide. Them unicorns looked up on the rocks and they cried, and the waters came down and sort of floated them away. And that's why you never seen a unicorn to this very day. You'll see green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, you're never going to see no unicorn.
The Irish Rovers, 1 week late for St. Patrick's Day, but welcome nonetheless.
Has this ever happened to you? You're driving along, and then the monotony of driving gets you down. You're droopy. You've got the driving drowsies, and that could be dangerous. Well, fight back. Pull over and take No-Doze. It's got the strongest stimulant you can buy without a prescription, and it's not habit-forming. No-Doze. No car should be without it.
Thank you.
of Alfred's Tijuana Brass, fashioning a very un-Bizet version of Carmen, but good. Why not take us with you every weekend? Monitors available, and we'll travel, accompanying you on the go anywhere across the nation. In Phoenix, Arizona, we're heard on KTAR. The NBC station nearest you will drop its name, then Monitor returns with The World in Washington, produced by NBC News. It's an in-depth look at the United States' role in world affairs, so stay tuned. This is Jack Haskell.
I'm Bob Considine. You know, it's nice to be a part of the Monitor family, weekends, here on NBC Radio.